Blog Talk Radio.
There's a whole new world tonight. There's a cloud of fear and sorrow. There's a whole new world tonight. Don't let there be a hole in the world tomorrow.
They say
welcome to your place. This is Starla, and tonight we'll be listening to Blog Talk Mom's Kids Club, and we're excited to have her. And right now, we'll introduce our host, Wild Bill.
Hello, Starla. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Kind of rushed, but I got here.
Been burning the candle at both ends from what it sounds like. I can relate. I'm over in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and I too am excited about the show tonight. I was thinking about what I wanted to say with this show, and then I remember that song. It reminded me that this world has a lot of things that it will want to fill up our life with to help us feel like everything's okay. But it was that personally experienced love of God that took what was a hole where I was just so lost and so miserable and so looking for direction, and I couldn't find it. Even though I knew of God, I didn't really have that personal relationship with Him. And just to think, ministry is still going on, that outreach is still going on to those that have not heard the good news of the love of Jesus. I just get so excited every time that Blog Talk Mama shares a story about what's happening in these young people's lives. So we want anyone that wants to be part of the show tonight, all you got to do is push 1 on your phone. It'll raise your hand. We'll try to get you on as quick as possible. We understand that many of you, you know, have to go to bed for school and things. So just push 1 on your phone. You'll be identified by the last 4 numbers on your phone. And without any further ado, we just want to turn this over to a Blog Talk Mom and let her kind of kick this off.
And I appreciate you, Wild Bill, for allowing me to take some time on the program tonight to talk about the clubhouse. And Starla, it's good to hear your voice. I love you very much. My greatest, fondest, happiest times in my life were when the children, Doorbells and Wild Bill, y'all were just kids, and we lived out on a farm, and we would play church, and just had some wonderful, wonderful times and play games, and we were very, very close. And that had such a healing to me all through our life together. And now the clubhouse is sort of, God's placed it in my life, and it's doing the same thing in another way. I love these children. I love the adults. I love our workers. They have just been wonderful and warm and kind. I couldn't thank them enough. This whole outreach could not have even been in existence if it hadn't been for our pastor, Pastor Jean Holland. She's pastored this church for over 30 years. The stories of the people that she has brought into her home, the children that have been raised in her home, there's just so many that we could take the whole program just to talk about Pastor Holland and not only what she's done in her own home, but in her church. She has, which is the Church of the Living God, she has placed within the heart of, I guess, 30 preachers in her church, the benevolent, loving outreach that everybody feels. When anyone comes into our church, you've been there, you know exactly what I mean, Wild Bill and Starla. It's just very, very warm. And the clubhouse was in my heart to do, and God had put it on my heart to do. But I wanted to use a scripture to begin with in Matthew 22:9. The Lord said, "Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage." Now this is talking about the great wedding of the Lamb of God with His bride. There's a group of people that doesn't matter how intelligent, how rich, how poor. There's no premium on who is in the bride, just those that will obey the word of God. And God gave the plan in Acts 2:38 for us to turn from our sinful ways and to be baptized in His name and be filled with His Spirit. And that is the most beautiful plan that we can obey that will get us through this life. And it fills us with a compelling force to want to reach out and help others that have maybe lost their way or have not found their way. I wanted to immediately, if there's anyone, any of the children, anyone that that would have to go to bed for school tomorrow, if you want to say something, then you just go ahead and press the 1, and I'll...
We have a caller, 9855.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I was calling from Jackson, Mississippi. Where am I calling?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thanks for calling.
Hello?
Yes. Do you have something you'd like to add to the program?
Yes, sir. I was calling about the clubhouse that Sister Lively has in Florence, Mississippi.
Yes.
Okay. What would you like to share with us?
I would like to share that Sister Lively is a woman of God, and she has brought the Lord to this neighborhood, and I'm very thankful for her for having my children welcomed to her clubhouse that she opened up for the kids in the neighborhood. And she's just an awesome person, and everybody that contributes to the clubhouse is just awesome, and I'm just very thankful, and I wanted to call and let Sister Lively know that we are very thankful for Tara, Brooklyn, and Julia, my children.
That's wonderful. I recognize your voice. You have been one of the most supportive. Your children are the most, they're kind and have, they're just the sweetest. The other day when I came over there, they had strep throat, and we've all been fighting whatever this Mississippi weather's been doing. And they ran over and brought me a note letting me know that they had strep throat. They couldn't be at the clubhouse. And I love the children. They bring, there's nothing like children. You know, Jesus mentioned that. And you have been supportive in many, many ways. I love you, and I appreciate you calling.
Oh, thank you, Sister. Thank you. And I love you for what you do. I mean, it's and everybody else helped that pitched in and got on your team with you. And it's really, I can see it changing a lot of the kids. And my daughters love Jesus, and they love God, and they love the church, and they love your clubhouse.
All right. That is wonderful. I'm glad you mentioned, because there are so many people involved in the clubhouse. For one, the Guthries that own the land have been kind enough to let us have that trailer, and there's no rent involved in that. And then Woe Ministries has been involved in helping us with utilities and with games and other things that we've needed. We have all kinds of snacks and drinks and then our church has been, they've just stood in line to ask me on Thursdays who can make sloppy joes or pizza or spaghetti or whatever. And we serve a full meal on Thursdays. And this is all just people, I mean, some of them work jobs. They all have families, but they come in and they teach and they sing. And it's just a blessing. It's a blessing to do it. And we sure trust that it's a blessing to those that are there in the trailer park.
Yes, ma'am.
So, one of the things you didn't add on that, you actually started this out of the trunk of your car, didn't you?
When I first felt led to go over there, it was a most unusual drawing of the Spirit of God. And a lot of our children, Sister Tammy Moak is our youth leader, and a lot of the children from the trailer park had been coming to our Wednesday night and some of our other special services. So actually the Lord spoke to my heart to go over and try to bridge the gap with some of the other children. Now the lady that just called and her children are very well versed in the Word of God, but there were some that were not, and so I was working with them, and I'd work out of the trunk of my car, and it just evolved. God blessed it, and it evolved that there were more that wanted to get involved, and it was being outside. You have the weather, the elements, and so many things to deal with, so that's why we took it inside.
We have another caller, 7574.
Hello.
Hey, Brother Rocky, how you doing?
Doing good, Rob Bill. How you doing?
Just fine. Would you like to share something about the clubhouse, what kind of impact it's made in your life?
Oh, it's made a huge impact to me. Just being, when I was raised up the same way as the environment that we're in, you know, now. So it really touched me, and they really mean a lot. It means a lot to me because it brings me back to the roots I started from when I was a child.
And Brother Rocky has been faithful to run the bus, and we're getting better and better at having a schedule and working on the children not walking. Some of them want to anyway, but we don't want them to get wet or, you know, come to church and already be wet. One little sad story, I didn't know anything about it, but there's some type of pipe out there, and one of the little boys climbed through it on his way to church, and it was a septic pipe. And I was just horrified to find out about that. Of course, he couldn't come on to church because of all he had all over him. But that sort of tells you the desire that's in children to be in the presence of God. Because just like we come into the presence of God and we feel a difference and we feel the burden of life lift, they do. They don't maybe understand completely what they're feeling, but they do know. And they're sometimes the very first ones to go to the altar. And one little boy one day, little Jacob, he looked up at me because we didn't have a big altar space, and we had a sort of a small church for the amount of people. And several of them were kneeling down, and so I just sort of put my hand on his shoulder, and he turned around and he said, "I did not get to kneel down," or "I didn't get a place." I don't remember how he worded it. I said, "Oh, excuse me," and I moved everybody over. And he got him a place to kneel down also. And they're just precious. There's so many unique things about each one of them. And Brother Rocky has a love for them, and they know that, and they respect that.
You know, one of the things I know from my past is being involved in any kind of ministry, it kind of holds you to a higher accountability and a higher walk with God being in that process. And it's a two-edged sword. It's got the blessings that goes along with it, but it also has heartache sometimes that goes along with it. And then there's also trials go along with it. So I want to commend everybody that helps you with this outreach because of being aware of all that goes along with that process. More than just a little bit of your time and a little bit of your knowledge. It's a dedication of your mind, your spirit, your relationship with God and everything.
Oh, you're right about that. If it isn't that, then it's not what God called it to be. If it's not an extension of His love, if they don't see Christ in everything we do, then we're just, I don't know really what we are, but the Bible says without love, anything we do profits us nothing. And we can't really manifest anything without the love of God. In Matthew 10:42, it says, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no way lose his reward." And that scripture has stood out to me all through the years of my walk with God. If we, you know, sometimes because we can't go out and build a cathedral or, you know, do some great thing that we think would be great, we don't do anything. We might give, but do we really give of ourselves? You know, make that contact with them, and they know. They know if you do that, and they may not receive it. I had one little girl call me today, and she said some of the children had made a remark about they didn't want to go to church, and you know, they didn't want to follow Jesus. They did for the loaves and the fishes, but we know from the Word of God that there was a time that the same crowd that said, "Hosanna, the King," said, "Crucify." So we can't look at people's applaud. We just walk and give as God gives us to give. And that's all God ever requires.
Yeah, you plant the seed.
Right.
Have we got any more callers yet, Starla?
Not yet.
There's another.
Oh, yes, it is. We have one more.
Okay.
1281, you're on.
Hey, Sister Lively, this is Alyssa.
Well, hello. How are you?
Hey, Alyssa.
Yes.
Now, this little lady here is one of the sweetest kids you've ever seen when it comes to coming in. She comes in the door wanting to help. And the other lady that just called, and I won't call names, but their children are the same way. They're wanting to help. They want to be helpers, and they'll do anything from cleaning, picking up. We use hand sanitizer as soon as they come in. I think Alyssa used that for her job. Wasn't that your job last time?
Yes, it was.
And she cleaned everybody's hands, made sure. And then we take a list and we give Adora a prize. And Alyssa has been very faithful. She comes to church, rode the bus this past week, and has been very encouraging. She said very kind words to me, just above her age, actually. And so has this other family that called a while ago. Have been very, very encouraging. They brought me little gifts that wasn't necessary, but it just blesses me that they're so thoughtful.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to share about the program up there? Where what you feel about it or what you've learned?
Well, Sister Lively has been really great. She is she's just awesome. Ever since, even if we didn't have a clubhouse, she would come out there and meet us in the road, and we would do a lesson, and I've really enjoyed it. And Brother Rocky and Sister Ruth, I care about them too. They've been great to me too, so. And I'm just really grateful I have them.
Well, we want to thank you for calling, and we hope to call back in again and enjoy our show.
Okay. Bye, Sister Lively.
Bye, and thank you for staying up past your bedtime.
Yeah.
Bye, Alyssa.
Bye.
You're so precious and so cute when they call.
They are.
Oh, yes.
James 1:27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And that's a big order right there. But it's in their affliction. And it something about doing it and being a part of it and being close to it is more encouraging than any other ministry that I've ever been involved in.
But then you still have all the dynamics. You got ages from, I'm not sure how, they're very small all the way up to teenagers, aren't they? I mean,
well, went on up to 18 at first. We were going from, I guess there was 3 and 4 year old children, and then it went on up to 18. And we have a family that attends in our church and also lives in the trailer park. And they've been a tremendous help to us. That's Gabe and Elena, and they have several children. Harley is their oldest one, and it is sort of sometimes you have to take it as they come in the door, because you may one day have mostly children, little children, and the next time have mostly older children. And then if you have 30 all ages of children, you feed them and get rid of them as quick as you can. it's interesting, and they will really make it interesting for you. But I can say they have overall been very respectful, and they've tried very, very hard to do the plan that we set out for them. They come in the door, and they, as I mentioned, they clean their hands, and we give them 10 pennies because the workman's worthy of his hire. And then they give 1 penny they learn belongs to God, because 10% of all that we own belongs to God. You're not giving him anything. It already belongs to him. And then you give from the other as an offering if you would like to, or you keep it. And some of them keep it, some of them put it back. And because of that, I believe that's one of the reasons that God has sent people from outside and inside to Sister Pat Bullock, just financed us putting in a new storage building out front, which is going to give us more room. And we already have enough children that we could use at least two more rooms for classes. But we need a lot more helpers before we get a lot more rooms, I think.
Blog Talk Mom, we have another caller.
Okay.
Hello?
9855? Hey, Sister Lolly, this is Tara.
This Tara?
Yeah.
Well, how are you?
Good.
Now, Tara is one of the brightest, sweetest children you will ever meet. She and her mother and Julia and Brooklyn they live right next to the clubhouse, and they watch out for it. And sometimes I'm so disappointed because I don't really get to be there as often as I would like to. This year has been a whopper for all kinds of sicknesses, things like. Tara, what do you like most about the clubhouse?
Just being there with everybody.
You like the fellowship and getting together. Have you learned anything about the Bible?
Yes, ma'am.
You have. Do you like the Christian DVDs that we watch sometime?
Yes, ma'am.
You do. All right. What kind of dog do you have, Tara?
Chihuahua.
Is she cute or what?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, she is a sweetie. The tiniest little dog I believe I've ever seen in my life. And Tara takes really good care of her. They take good care of everything around here. Very, very special.
And we have another caller.
Okay. All right. See you, Tara.
3933.
Thanks for calling, Tara.
This is Jerry.
Well, hello, Miss
Hello.
Kitchen Worker. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing better. This little lady right here has the most calming effect on me. right with the trailer, it's sort of like you come in the door, and then if you turn to your right, that's where we have our service, and then you're immediately in the kitchen. And so at the point that somebody brings in the Sloppy Joes or the pizza or whatever, you can imagine the attention that's brought to the kitchen. And Sister Jerry is just right there. She's got it all in hand, serves everybody, makes it look neat, runs it very, very smoothly. Don't you, Sister Jerry?
I try. Thanks.
And she works the job and has a beautiful daughter, Emily. What do you like about the clubhouse?
I just love being around the children and just listening to them and serving them food. I like serving people. The kitchen work is where I need to be because I love serving food and I love making food and I love giving it to people. So,
do you feel like the clubhouse is effective for the Lord's work?
Very effective. It is. Children have come such a long way since you've started this. It's just some phenomenal work has been done now, and I just really see a move of God that's happening within these children and these children's lives, and they're not only living it in the club, taking it with them and making conscious decisions outside the clubhouse.
That's very, very good. I see that too. Sister Danielle, Brother Ernest, they've been working with us. Sister Danielle is Mr. and Miss Guthrie's granddaughter, and she's been teaching. It's very, very effective in what she's been doing. And Andrew, her brother, Cody, I'll start naming names and leave somebody out, but they have been very effective in what they've been doing. We appreciate it.
Can y'all share some specific things that's happened there that, you know, where you've seen God move in these young people's lives? I know you shared some of the things with me, but could you share it for the other people maybe listening?
Every service is an experience. Every service we see the Lord touch somebody's life. It may be in a way that they come and you can tell that they are confused or burdened. They bring their little burden in just like people come into big church, bring them in. And when we start playing a gospel song or we begin to talk about the Lord, you can feel the atmosphere change. You feel, you know, that God is touching their lives. And they begin to smile. They ask for, you know, are we going to have it? I guess the most greatest punishment that I ever administer is to say, if we are not respectful, we will not have the service the next couple of days. And it really devastates them. They really know, you know, they're children, but they are all touched in different ways. And Brother Rocky, is there any particular incident that you would like to share? I don't want to take all the time.
I think one of the main one thing I see was when the night we had we was all sitting there and the music came on and I asked them to do an altar call, and I've never seen them so dedicated, you know, as far as the move of God. They was crying and, you know, their hands in the air, and it was amazing. Like I said, that we teach them, but they're really teaching us at the same time.
That's true. I know one time I had the schedule in mind, and you know, you have to get the children out. Their parents have asked when they're going to be able to come home, and but there was this lingering presence of God. And Sister Danielle, she was just looking at me, and I couldn't. And she said, you know, she just told me, don't end it. It's, you know, she didn't know how to express it. And so we continued to pray, and Sister Natasha came around, and it was just beautiful. I mean, how do you describe the move of God? How do you know all that it does in a person's life? One young man came in, there was just one person came, and the Lord had already prepared me to not look for big crowds or a certain number or get my expectation to be a certain thing. So this young man came in, and he was by himself, and I really don't believe if there had been anybody else that he would have yielded to what he did. He said, I want this Holy Ghost. He was telling me he wanted it. So I said, okay, and we just began to pray, and the Spirit of God just came down on him, and he received the Holy Ghost, and he was so in the presence of God that it was probably 20 minutes that we just sat there, and I said, just go ahead and enjoy it and worship the Lord as God began to move. Well, this young man came to Wednesday night service the next week, and the whole side of his face had a big mark, you know, where he'd been hit. And he said he didn't want to tell me who it was, but he said, could what have happened, he wanted to know if what happened to him was just some kind of chemical reaction. And so again, I began to talk to him about the Word of God and reassured him that what he got was the Spirit of God. So these children are making a big stand. We don't know what they go back to. We don't know what kind of persecution or confrontation hits them when they go back. We know what we have fought. We know what history shows that the church has always fought. We know what Jesus Christ faced. So, you know, we can't be naive into thinking that these children are just going to walk in here and all of a sudden walk away with all of their needs and all of their life completely changed, other than the power of God and the knowledge of the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash away all sin, and the hope that we share with them each time that God can change any situation if we will believe that and hold on to that.
And the storms that they have to go through at home, you know, it's got to be heartbreaking when there's things that you are aware of, because I know being involved in different ministries, there's times that, you know, God just lets you see things, you know, that you normally wouldn't see. And so, but the great thing, like you're saying, is like you may not can do anything to change their living situation, but what you can do is just let them know that they have a safe place in Jesus where they can go to, who does understand, who does see everything that's happening, and he understands it at their level in a way that you or I never could do. You shared a story with me the other day, and I just, it just keeps going over and over in my head about a young man, I don't know if it was after the church service or there at the trailer, but where the power of God fell on him and the Holy Ghost fell on him, and he looked at you and he just like, I don't know what to do. That just has been, you know, something that just really just turns inside of me, because, you know, there's a lot of things, even, you know, when you've been in church for a while, there's a lot of things that you don't have all the answers. You know, you don't know, you know, in church services there's certain structure and things. So I could just see this young person with this being new and having, you know, the power of God following them in such a mighty way. And I was like, wow, you know, because that's the result you're looking for. I mean, it's great that you can help with clothes and you can do things during holidays so they got meals. The main structure, what I see with what you're doing is that seed that's planted deep in their heart, and where you're working to nurture that. And as you said before, working with children, there's not a higher calling, but there's also not a harder work to do because of the impact, you know, you're making with them personally, but you don't know about their surroundings because they still got to go back to a very real world, and being young people, they have so little control over a lot of the external things in their life.
That's true. That's very true. Did any others call, Starla?
Just a second.
Did somebody else call in, or?
I dropped the phone.
You hear that a lot.
No other callers.
Okay.
My wife wants me to get her a new cell phone because she has battered and tortured that one to death. One day, we got a little koi fish pond outside our house, and I guess she thought the fish wanted to make a phone call. I don't know, but she dropped it down in the fish pond, and it sat in there for about 15 minutes before she could fish it out of 4 foot of water, and it still works. So.
Wow. That's
the grace
life.
Of God.
It sure is. But she prayed over mine. I dropped it in a mud puddle, and that was the end of that. Well,
I heard some on the radio earlier tonight that I'm not sure how it really fits with this, but it had a man, the story was this man was sitting off to the side, and he was so upset because life was so hard. Everything was a struggle. Everything was a contest, either against himself, his health, job situations. Just, it was just a struggle of life. He just said, this is just too much. And all of a sudden, a person appeared to him, and you have to understand this is a makeup story, so, but it's got a real good thought to it. And he's like, you're wanting a place that's perfect, where there's no struggle, everything is just easy, and, you know, just to enjoy life without any struggle to it. And the man's like, yes, that's what I want. He said, are you sure? And he's like, yes. So all of a sudden, he led him off to this place. They went through an alley and came out in this place he had never been before, and all the people were beautiful and friendly, and everyone seemed to be wanting to get along. And they said, well, what do you like to do? And he's like, well, I like to go fishing. I just love, you know, the battle between me and the fish and catching the fish. So they climbed in this boat, and they was going across there, and all of a sudden the boat just stops. I'm like, well, why did the boat stop? And he goes, because this is the perfect place to fish. And so they were sitting there, and I mean, just the fish hit the line just as soon as he put his line in the water. And, you know, he went to pull it up, but there was no fight. It was almost like the fish jumped into the boat on its own. He's like, well, you know, after about 10 or 12 times of doing this, he's like, well, this is not any fun. There's supposed to be the contest, the battle to catch the fish, me against them. And so they said, well, is there something else you'd like to do? And he's like, well, I like to go deer hunting. I like to, you know, eat deer meat, and I like to go, you know, and hunt. And so they got him set up with his gear and went out in the woods, and all of a sudden they came across this clearing, and there was like 25 of the most beautiful bucks that you had ever seen in your life. And as he was trying to get closer for a shot, they never moved away. They just looked like they're at him. They were perfect targets. And he's like, you know, that's not the sportsman part of deer hunting. You know, it's just you against the nature sort of thing. And this went on, and he tried it with sports and different things, and, you know, he wanted to paint pictures, and every one of his pictures all looked the same. He wanted to do sunsets, and every sunset was exactly the same picture to the smallest detail, And they were saying it's because there can't be but one perfect, you know, scene. So you're doing the same one over and over. And so he's like, well, I don't like this. We need to have these things in our life and everything. And he's like, this is not perfection. And so the whole thing was is it let him turn around to see that he had came from what was designed to be perfection, how everything had to work. And I remember one time hearing a story about the baby chicken. If it doesn't have the struggle of fighting to break free from that egg, it won't live. And so we need the struggle and things in our life to help us be overcomers, to make us who we are, to give us our character, and to make it to where that we can be something, or we have to strive for it. You know, if God just, you know, he paid for our salvation, but, you know, there was these young people and everything. I really hope they understand that it's a two-way process. It's there for the taking, but then you become a work in progress, and it is going to always be a struggle at different times in your life because Satan does not want anybody to be saved, ever.
You're right.
And so there's always going to be that struggle.
You know, the devil fights it every day, Bill. I mean, every day there's a struggle as far as sickness. And, you know, the sickness around here with the children and stuff like that. So we just got to, you know, overcome that and, you know, claim it and say, Jesus, you know, we know that, you know, we got to be here for these children. I had knee surgery, and I told him, I said, I would not miss a Thursday over here with y'all. Y'all would have to climb and pick me up and carry me in there, but I'm not going to miss it. The devil worked on me, but I made that service that night. And, you know, ever since then, I know the kids realize that I'm here for them regardless. The devil's not going to keep me down. The devil's not going to push me away from this. I might have struggles in my life. I might have issues in myself, but this year, I'm here for the children. We're here to teach them about God. And with your mother, you know, Sister Liva, she is just an inspiration to these children. It's not just the children in the trailer park. She influences, it's the parents here. You know, we have a family that comes over and, you know, gave a $10 tithe. Said, I want to give this as my tithe. It's just it's amazing how these children actually, you know, like I said, they're teaching us. But we got to show them, you know, that God's here for us. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to fail us. And so, and to me, I feel like I got to be here for them because I don't want them to feel like I'm failing them or Sister Lila feel the same way. Then we're not going to let them down. No matter how hard they push us or, you know, sometimes it might be a situation here and we have to say something, but they're here. They love us and they respect us. You know, Sister Jerry coming over here, you know, some plates and stuff like that. People say, well, it ain't no big deal. It is a big deal because we're giving it to them. You know, we're sharing, we're fellowshipping. We're giving them, you know, words of wisdom for us coming from the Bible and then, you know, feeding them and fellowshipping with them afterwards.
In this day and time where everybody's wanting to be arguing about politics and they're wanting to sit there and talk about how bad everything is with the economy and, you know, they're fearful as to what's going to happen with our future and everything, the real putting the rubber to the road is when you're doing what you're doing right there because, and we've talked about this with a lot of things, if our message is the same as everybody else's, then, you know, there's no change. But when you do something different, like what's being done there, and making a safe place for these children, where they, you know, they call it the clubhouse, it's there. You know, it's really their place, like this radio show is called Your Place. We want it to be where people can come and voice their thoughts and you know, freely share, you know, what they're feeling on whatever the topic is. But the thing that keeps growing over and over in my mind is seed, because I know within myself, I had a lot of seed of God's Word planted in my life. And I didn't apply that at a younger age. But you know what? That seed didn't go away. And there were different times in my life where it would come back. And God's Word would come back. And it would, you know, resonate in my mind and apply, and I could apply it to things in my life. And that's the part of living for God that just, you know, I want to encourage, you know, parents and young people alike, take hold of this Word. Memorize every scripture you can memorize. And ask questions. Find out what it means, because this is what's going to get you through. Did you have anything else for us, Blog Talk Mom, on, you know, a specific thing? Or?
Well, I really enjoyed this. I was going along with what you were saying about having to come against opposition and so much negativity in our world. But as someone said, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And I really would reach out to anybody that would hear this program is just let your light shine. Be that salt that God has made you to be. And bloom where you're planted. If it's at the grocery store that maybe God would want you to touch somebody's life, or just wherever. You know, every day is an appointment or an opportunity, if we'll let it be, to do something or touch somebody for the Lord. And Matthew 9:38 says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." There is a harvest, and God is calling those that are willing to go to nursing homes and anywhere that we can and touch children's lives. And they know the difference between a story of evolution and the creation story. That's what we've been working on mostly since we've been in the trailer. And it isn't hard. They see it. They're smart. They're very smart, very intelligent, and comprehend what the Word of God says. So the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. So my prayer is that each person that would hear this broadcast would say, "God, who can I be for you? What can I be for you, and who can I touch for you?" And you'd be amazed. When I was lost and wandering around and lived over on Bethany Road, a lady brought me a little cup of pudding with a jelly bean on it and turned my life around. A gesture of love will do something. It can't not return void, just like the Word of God.
We have another caller, 7564. Hello? Hello? You're on the
7564,
air.
7564, you're on the air.
Okay, yes. My name is Elaine. I was just calling about the clubhouse. I just wanted to say I appreciate everyone that contributes to it, because my children go there. They love it. They get a lot out of it. My Sister Lively is awesome for listening to God to help these children. It's really, really made a difference, because we can see a difference in our children.
Now this lady is the one I mentioned a while ago, Elena. She's been very, very helpful. And Brother Gabe is her husband. He's an electrician. He cleans up around the front. And he and Brother Rocky have been very faithful to, Brother Gabe and Brother Rocky pretty much built put together the storage building that we got. And we appreciate that. Brother Rocky could tell you more about that. I just clapped my hands and told them what a good job they were doing. I don't know about building.
I think Brother Gabe did more than I did, because he's good with his hands. He's good with what he does and building things, and he's good. He actually is good with the children around here. They actually come to his house when we're not doing a clubhouse on weekends. They come to his house and he teaches them things there and shows them things there at the house also.
Good. And they both have been very supportive and helpful, and I love them very much. Their mobile home is a larger mobile home, sort of in the off to the left of the front of our clubhouse, and so we feel very protected and secure there. How God just nestled us there with Tara's family and Harley's family, right there with the Guthries and in Jesus Christ, who is everything that anybody could ever hope for. And again, I want to say thank you to Wild Bill and Joy Bells. Okay, what can I call her? That Wild Bill, Joy Bells.
You can call her. You can ask her. She's probably out there, but I'm just going to listen to the show. So,
you out there, Joy Bell? Can you
raise her hand? I wasn't sure how long she was going to be on. One of the things that I learned at a very young age, it don't matter if you're cleaning the toilets in the church, if you're helping with construction, if you're giving someone a meal, whatever it is that you do in the kingdom of God, you're going to get blessings for it. I promise you, you cannot outgive God, can you, Starla?
No, sir, you can't.
Starla is a giver, too. That's a work in this lady. Cleans the church and cooks and does. I've never seen anybody quite like her. Starla, you're just a.
Did you say I cooked?
Yeah, don't you cook when they have the dinners and things?
He serves everybody when everybody brings potluck and things.
I've heard some stories about your cooking. I am here.
All right. There you are. All day today.
I've heard lots and lots of stories about this clubhouse. I did want to agree with what you said about Sister Holland and the feeling of that church, and then you feeling like now you can just add to that and be part of it, which you already have with the nursing homes and other kinds of things. But there is something just so nurturing and mothering and healing about the spirit that she has. So I can see how this would be a good extension of that.
I appreciate you saying that, because I could just spend the whole time sharing stories about how she's, I mean, whole family she's brought into her home. And there is not a more generous, benevolent person. Well, me, I was here, you know, in great need 8 or 9 years ago, and she and her church has really been a life-saving station for me.
And it's really genuinely from her heart. You don't feel, you know, I have seen the way that she loves you, and then it extended to us and to Grandma, and she's just right there, and either she's an extremely good actor or she just honestly, genuinely, warmly cares about everybody.
But I love the clubhouse.
Our church has other outreaches, the Friendship Connection, Buried Treasures, the Ark. Sister Casey Johnese that attends our church is very active in these outreaches, and then they come to church, and Sister Holland is responsible for our connection there also.
Yeah, I believe that when you see the ministries involved with the church, I believe that it's a reflection of the ministry of the pastor. You know, the outreach that you see there, it all starts from the top of the family.
That's right. That's right. That anointing and personality that the pastor has will flow down through the congregation and manifest itself then if it's like it's supposed to be, like God intended it to be.
Well, I've enjoyed you sharing us a little bit about your program there and everything. The one thing I want to encourage everybody to do is to pray for this outreach, because whether we're living in last days or not, no matter what you believe about that, I can see that there's more attacks against ministry and outreach than I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. And whatever it is, Satan's make a full-fledged frontal attack against ministry right now. And so, you know, it don't matter where you live, you know, we can pray for this program, you know, for a prayer covering to be over the people who's doing the work, and for these young people that's all part of it.
That would be excellent. That is, if everybody would take that to speak their name each day, it would be very powerful.
Also, I want to remind everybody that we have a Your Place page on Facebook, and you can also go to our page on the Blog Talk Radio website, and we have topics on there that's posted. And so you can, you know, put your name on there if you want prayer. You can share a testimony. You can, you know, give us some more stories about what's happening. You can put that on these websites, and, you know, we can keep the discussion open that way also. It doesn't have to be just here on the radio, on the Blog Talk Radio. I know some people are kind of bashful with the whole idea of, you know, everyone being able to hear what you say, but it's kind of a format here where you can just get on the computer and just, you know, talk whatever's on your heart. So I want to encourage people to take part in doing that also. Did you have one more scripture there, Blog Talk Mom, that you just wanted to share tonight?
I pretty much covered them that I had chosen earlier, but I want to thank you again for allowing us to come on and share and some of the things that are going on in the clubhouse and in that area. And my family, I love y'all very, very much, and you have brought more joy to me than I can ever give back into y'all's life. And I trust that the children will go back with a fresh touch that they can put back in their families also when they come to the clubhouse. And
we have a caller.
Okay.
7564, you're on.
Hey,
hello, 7564. Hello.
Hello. Yes, I was just calling to make a comment on the clubhouse.
Okay.
This is Brother Gabe. I've been working closely with Sister Lively and Brother Rocky, and I'd like to let them know that I appreciate everything they've done for the kids around here. And I'm excited about what we got going on because I can see it. Big difference in all the kids' attitudes around here. They're much more loving, and we give them a lot of love that most of them don't get at home. And it means a lot to me and the kids. I know the family's appreciated around here. But the biggest part is that, you know, we needed to bring Jesus into this trailer park, and we've got him here, and we plan on keeping him here.
Well, thank you, Brother Gabe.
Yeah, we've heard about what you've done to help out and everything. We want to thank you, too, for being a part of everything that's happened.
That's what the Lord wants me to do, and that's what I'm going to keep on doing.
Well, with that attitude, you can't go wrong, I promise.
Amen. You're right about that. But,
you got some great people working with you, Sister Lively.
Oh, I tell you, it has been one of the most miraculous things that has ever happened, how God has just took the little seed that we started with, and because of the tremendous foundation of Pastor Holland, and this people in this church are just so full of God's Spirit that when they heard what I had felt that the Lord was leading me to do, they are just there. I mean, any food or work, and of course, Brother Gabe is right there on the spot. He's right there. And I know Brother Rocky's really proud of that because there's just a lot that, I mean, I'm 70, so I'm not the most strongest person in the world to do things. Maybe when Sister Kaiser gets back from the Arctic, she's pretty good at hammering nails and things, but they have just been wonderful. And the Lord is blessed. It is all glory and honor goes to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But one thing I know from history with you, that you don't act like you're 70 years old, even when you get sick. And I've been trying to tell her the same thing her pastor has, that she needs to stay in bed and rest. And she does. She's like the Energizer Bunny. She does. If she's down for 3 or 4 hours or a day, she thinks that, you know, so what if I had pneumonia yesterday? I got things to do. It's got to be done. And so, you know, I appreciate everything that all your help is doing to help you, but sometimes I wish they would just put a chain around your ankle and chain you to the bedpost of your bed, and make you stay there for a while. Sometimes I think she forgets. She throws that out there about being 70, and she makes a lot of jokes about her age and everything, but I would hate to have to try to follow her around all day long.
That's cute.
Well, we're getting down to the last minute and a half of the program, and we will have you guys back again for an update. Next week, the show is going to be where people can call in and share thoughts about lost loved ones, and we all have those, especially as we get older, and just maybe share a little story about someone you've lost in your life, just kind of be respectful, and, you know, it's something you can go back to the archives and share with other family members, and we hope everybody can come back and do that. I want to be sure and thank everybody that called in tonight. You know, you were a blessing. And just to know that, you know, this has had an impact in your life, this is something that reaches out to the saints of God all over. They don't have to be right there in Mississippi. And the last thing I forget to tell you every time, the passcode at alertonesupplements.com for the month of February is love. Put that in the coupon code and you get a 10% discount off your purchase at the end of it. We got just a few seconds left. Does anybody else have something they want to say? Come on, Blog Talk Mom.
I do thank you again, and I'm so thankful to be a part of this great body of Christ, the Bride of Christ. And I'm looking forward to God putting the finishing touches on what he's doing on this world and taking us out.
Amen. And Brother Rocky, don't let her fool you with saying that she don't know how to work on things. When I had a flat tire on a motorcycle one time, we took it apart to get it fixed, and she had to come out there and help us put it back together. She was able to figure it out. So she's pretty mechanical, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just thankful to have her in my life. You know, and she tells me, you know, I've been told that me and you are like twins. We look alike. So I'm just thankful to have her in my life.
Well, the one thing I can say about Blog Talk Mom, you may not always like what she has to say, but it's always from the heart. And it's always with the best intentions, and it's
right.
always based on the Word of God and these things that God has experienced in her life. So if you're a lot like me, I hope you don't take some of the wrong paths that I've had. But if you ask her a question, be prepared to get an answer. It may not be the one you want, but it's always going to be the one you need.
That's right.
I appreciate that. I would like to mention on that point, though, watching Pastor Holland for 10 years has refined a lot of some of the things that you're referring to. I'm pretty nice now.
If you do say so yourself.
If I do say so myself. I can get to the point, though, sometimes.
You know, you're talking about the pastor. She is the same today as she is tomorrow. Isn't that a child when I left the church and came back? I was still a little rocky to her, so, you know, she ain't going to change for nobody.
So good, so kind, so just such a wonderful person. We're very privileged to have her as pastor, and I'm looking forward to all y'all visiting again.
Yes, indeed.
Well, looking forward to be back down there with you again sometime. And also, Sister Holland makes the best turkey burger I've ever tasted in my life. I don't know what she does different, but she could sell those things, I'm telling you.
What she made today was, I have never tasted a chicken and dressing meal like she prepared today, because I was sick and Sister Peggy brought it over, and my, sweet potatoes, and I know I'm getting better.
Well, you just keep resting, and we're going to keep praying for you and believe. I know that you've got a lot on your plate, and I know that you feel the call to want to do everything for everybody, but sometimes I think you got to run the race with patience, and sometimes you just have to leave some things for other people. But I've never, ever, ever read anything in the Bible or witnessed anything in my life where God didn't tell someone to do something that he didn't make a way for them to do it.
That's right.
And so if God makes you feel the calling to be there 7 days a week, I know he's going to make a way for you to be there 7 days a week. What's the scripture say about outrunning the troop and leaping over the wall?
That's right. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall.
So with God, all things are possible. I want to thank everybody again. God bless y'all. We'll see you next week.
Okay. God bless you. I love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Love you too.